G'day everyone, it's great to be with you all this evening. Please join with me as I begin by praying. Father, as we come now to look at your word, we pray that we would be quick to receive it. Father, we pray that we would know the freedom that is found in Jesus and enjoy having you as our Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I always tell this story about how John Butler, you know John Butler from the John Butler Trio, how he came to visit our place, my place where I grew up. I was probably around 18 or 19 at the time. And this is sort of at the height of his fame. You hear him on the radio, the TV, you name it. John Butler's pictures plastered all over the place. And I liked him. My family had the album. So we hold a garage sale, and John Butler turns up to it to buy our leftovers, our junk. Here's John Butler. And he was visiting the region for a festival that weekend, and he left with the things that we didn't want. I should have checked what he bought. He did actually buy something. Now, I always tell that story, but there's a part that I always leave out. See, I personally didn't actually see him or speak to him. I was home, but I was too busy in my room reading a book at the time. My mum, my dad, my sister, they all got to see him, but I was oblivious until after he left. John Butler came to visit, but I didn't receive him with open arms. I ignored him. The title of this series is What If God Were One of Us? That's what the Gospel of John is all about. It presents from the very first verse that Jesus, the Word, was God. And everything that had been made was made through him. And it says that he became one of us. God came to visit. He came to his own people, the Jews. But you know what happened? They didn't just ignore him. They slammed the door in his face, outright rejected him. And this part of John's gospel, it gives us the answer as to why they did that. And it gives us the deepest spiritual reason. Now, why did the Jews, God's own people, who'd been waiting for centuries for God to come, reject him when he did? Well, Jesus says the answer is that they were in spiritual slavery. We'll see as we go along that the Jews of Jesus, they were very keen to say how free they were. But what they weren't free to do was to receive God and his word. They were unable to embrace him. And Jesus tells them it's because they're enslaved. Enslaved to sin and enslaved to the family of the devil. And this slavery meant that they could never welcome him, Jesus, for who he was. In Australia, we've got so much freedom. We can live where we want to live. We can eat whatever nationality of food we want to eat. I've got the freedom to travel pretty much wherever I want to in the world. But for people in many places, and even in Australia 50 to 100 years ago, these freedoms were out of reach. As a society today, we've got heaps of freedom. In fact, our society is built on freedom. But as we come to look at Jesus' teaching in this passage, are we free to receive it? Can you freely choose to embrace God? Is anyone really free to receive Jesus for themselves? Or is it beyond us? You might be going, yeah, well, of course we're free to choose what people are free to choose what they want. But let's have a look at this passage and see if that was the case when God came to visit his people. So we'll be particularly focusing in on 31 to 47, but we'll be exploring a little bit around chapter 8 as well. So last week we saw that Jesus went down to this big Jewish festival. And in chapter 8, Jesus is still at the same festival speaking to the same group of people. And there's been quite a bit of conflict up to this point. And now he's telling them openly that God's come to visit. He's saying things like, in verse 19, if you knew me, you'd know my Father also. He's identifying himself with God. And in verse 23, he says, you are from below, I am from above. You're of this world, I and not of this world. And the real kicker, the real clincher in terms of his point that God has come to visit is in verse 24 and then also later in 28. But look at 24. He says, I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will indeed die in your sins. Literally there when it says, I am He, there's no He. It just says, if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. I am, or I am who I am, is Yahweh, the special name of God that God gave to His people to be known by. Jesus says, unless you believe that I'm God, your God, you'll die. And notice at the end of the section there in verse 30, John writes that as Jesus spoke, many believed in Him. It looks like these Jews have received Him. But then he says to them in verse 31, to the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So Jesus says to these Jews, if you hold firmly to my word, then you really are believers, disciples, and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But look straight away how the Jews respond. But we've just seen that they believe, but the cracks are starting to appear in their belief already. In verse 33, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? They say, we've never been slaves. We don't need setting free. It's a common sort of perspective today, isn't it? I'm already enjoying a free life. How can Jesus say that I'll be set free? After these Jews, Abraham's descendants, it's really a crazy thing to say. They were slaves in Egypt and in Babylon. They were slaves under the Greeks. In fact, they were in slavery at the very moment as they spoke with Jesus. They're speaking with Him in Jerusalem, and there's a massive Roman garrison overshadowing the whole city. There's a sense in which they were free in that they had held on to their ethnic individuality and their religion despite oppression, but really it comes across like they were blind to their slavery. But Jesus, He doesn't really focus on this slavery to the Romans. He tells them that they have a deeper and more profound slavery. Look at verse 34. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So it wasn't their captivity to the Romans that was their biggest problem, it was captivity to sin. And sin, I'm not sure if you know what that word means, but sin's all about rejection of God. That's at the heart of it. It's not so much breaking rules as it is about how we treat God, a rejection of God. So what that means is if sin is your master, that's all you ever do, reject, reject, regret, reject. You reject God and you'll go your own way. And that's what Adam and Eve did when they first sinned. They rejected God's rule, God's word, and they went their own way. And humanity's been following in their footsteps ever since. And it's the Jew situation here. It's tragic. They don't realize their slavery, but with sin as their master, all they can do is reject God and go their own way. And it's because of this slavery that they reject God when He comes to visit. But Jesus says to them that He has the power to set them free. We sung these words actually in the Man of Sorrows song, and it says in verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He tells them that, Jesus says that I as the Son of the Father, have the power to set slaves free from sin, to set you free. Under sin, all you could do was reject, reject, reject. But I can give you the freedom to believe and receive. And that's Jesus' point. But as we continue, we see that the Jews aren't just in captivity to a master, to sin. Their slavery here is deeper. It's captivity to a family, to a father. See, we inherit so much from our parents. We look like our parents. My mum's tall, so I'm tall. My dad has skinny legs, so do I. You might not be able to tell with the jeans on, but believe me. There's other sorts of traits that we often seem to inherit as well. On my mum's side, there's a history of mental health problems. My uncles have had huge issues. I've had to deal with some of that stuff myself in the past. On my dad's side, it's alcoholism. And I can see it affecting my cousins, just like it affected their dads before them. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try to escape from it, we end up just like our parents before us. We've come from them, they're our origin. We naturally seem to follow in their footsteps. Jesus tells these Jews here, it's because of who your father is that you reject me. You're actually just like your father. Your father rejects me, so do you. As Jesus continues the conversation, he builds up the suspense more and more until he tells them who their father is. It's because of who your father is that you're rejecting me, he says. In verse 37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in my father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Jesus, he's the Son of God, and he's speaking his father's words, but he says, you have a different father, and you do what you've heard him say. That's why you're trying to kill me. But the Jews, they say, hey, Abraham's our father, they answered in verse 39. But Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. And he says again, verse 41, you are doing the works of your own father. Jesus says, well, if Abraham was your father, he's speaking to these Jews, he says, if Abraham was your father, then like Abraham, you would receive God's word. Instead, you're trying to get me killed, even though I'm speaking what I heard from God. No, you don't do what Abraham did. You do the works of your own father. But the Jews have the ultimate awesome comeback at the end of verse 41. They say, the only father we have is God himself. Pull out the big guns. God's our father. We like him. End of story. But Jesus, he sets the record straight pretty quickly. He says, no, God's not your father. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I've come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. If God were your father, he says, you'd accept me. You'd love me because I've come from God. Verse 43, he says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. He says, you're not capable of actually hearing and receiving. And then he says, why? So he said to them, Abraham's not your father. God's not your father. If they were, you would have received me. But instead, you're unable to receive me. I'll tell you who your father is. Verse 44. He says to them, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's very, very intolerant, isn't it? It's shocking what he says. You could never just go up to somebody and say that without them wanting to kill you, could you? You'd think so. But like last week, he's willing to say whatever it takes to get the message across, even if it's offensive. And he says to them, your father is the devil and you carry out his desires. Why does he say that? What evidence does he have? Well, he says, the devil from the beginning was a murderer. That's his nature. And then think about these Jews. They're trying to kill Jesus. The devil's native language is lies. So much so that he's the father of lies. And they're living a lie, rejecting the truth of Jesus' word. The devil's their father, so they're just like him. As a quick aside, you might be someone who thinks that the idea of the devil is a bit far-fetched. And that's quite a common way of thinking today. But maybe I just pose it to you. When you think about some of the examples of extreme evil in the world, child slavery or a genocide, isn't it possible that there might be a spiritual being having influence over it all? And if God came to Earth, wouldn't he have some surprising spiritual realities to tell us all about? And that's what looks like happens here. Jesus shockingly and offensively, he reveals the role of the devil in these guys' lives. That the devil is their father, so they don't hear, believe, or receive God's word. See, he says there in 47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Whoever's from God hears and receives the word of God. He says, if you don't hear and receive, because you're not from him, your origin is in the devil. And in the end, look how clearly Jesus' words are proved to be true. Look at verse 58. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. He's saying, don't you get it? I'm God. I've been around since before your ancestor Abraham. I am. I am him, God. And what do they do? What do they do? In verse 59, look at it. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple ground. Their slavery to sin and the devil is clear. They're slaves to sin, for they reject God when he comes. Their father is the devil, and he was a murderer from the beginning. So they pick up stones to kill Jesus. It looked like they'd believe, but it turned out not to be true belief. Their hearts had no room for Jesus' word. Only Jesus could set them free, but they didn't go to him. They drove him away. When John Butler came to visit, at least I didn't slam the door in his face. But when God came to visit, that's exactly what his people did. And more. God came to his own and his own did not receive him. Why? Because they had a deep slavery, a slavery to sin and the devil. And it meant they weren't free to receive God when he came. Now, what about us? In Australia, as I said before, we think we're free. Free to choose our job, free to choose our life choices, the food we eat, whatever it may be. And we think we're free to choose to believe whatever we want. If I want to be a Buddhist, if I want to be a Hindu, well, that's my choice. And if I want to be a Christian, if I want to follow Jesus, well, I'm free to do that. But actually, are we really any different to the Jews? See, Jesus' teaching, it cuts right across our views of freedom. Remember he told these very religious people, and that's what the Jews were, very religious people. He told them that they were unable to hear his word, that their slavery restricted their ability to believe in him. The Jews, they followed the rules of God. They went to the temple. They identified themselves as God's people. But their slavery prevented them from truly embracing God. So when he came, they didn't receive him. Me, you, you're free to follow the rules of Christianity, to come to church, to identify yourself as a Christian. But Jesus is saying, and this is really hard to hear, Jesus is saying, nobody is free out of their own will to embrace the God of Christianity. You can do Christian things, act in a Christian way, but if you're a slave to sin, you can't accept Jesus as King of your heart. See, apart from Jesus, apart from going to Jesus, we can't know God in a genuine way. It's nothing more than superficial lip service. And that's not because God is mean and he doesn't want people to know him. It's because of our natural enslavement. Apart from Jesus, Our desire and our will are enslaved. I see what Jesus says to them in verse 44. Your father is the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. If you wanted to accept Jesus, to go to Jesus, well, of course you could, but you'll never want to at the deepest level. That's what he's saying to these Jews. And we'll never choose Jesus in our natural state. We'll just follow the way of sin. And sin is a terrible, terribly powerful master. If sin's your master, you're bound with unbreakable chains. There's a rapper, a holy hip-hop Christian rapper, Triple E, and he describes sin's power in one of his raps, and he uses the word robot instead of slave. I'll read some of it out. It might be up on the screen. He says, my heart took the order. I couldn't break the mold. Sold under bondage, and I couldn't take control. So I was just chilling in my robot clothes with my robot friends and my robot flows. Live in robot ways, because that's all I know, till I heard that I could be freed from my robot soul. And he says, the crazy thing is I didn't know I was a robot, so I ain't have a whole lot of plans for me to roll out. I thought I was unique, I thought I was so hot, but I was just like them other drones, I was so locked. Brainwashed, I was listening to lies, the freedom that I thought I had was really a mirage. I made my own choices, but it was a disguise. The only thing I really did was pick a different lie. So I was still a drone, nothing but a clone. I only knew the lies, because that's all I was shown. This is the power of sin's mastery. Outside of Jesus, we're like robots unable to reconfigure our setting. Of course, we're responsible for our own actions. If I look over all the ways that I've lied, I've put myself first, I can't say, oh, the devil made me do it all. If somebody tells you to steal something and you do it, you can't just shift the blame onto them. Yeah, the devil might have influenced me, but I've got to take responsibility for my own action. Now, the point is that, like robots or slaves, every time sin tells us to do something, we listen and obey. We're quick to obey. We can't break free from sin. And that means we don't have the freedom to receive God, enjoy Him, and live for Him. And even when we try not to sin, we can't. Growing up, I wasn't a converted Christian, but I did go along to a Christian school, and I'd hear Bible talks fairly regularly, and after a lot of them, I'd go home sort of beating myself over the back, saying, I know there's a God, and man, I'm supposed to be living for this God. And for a little while, I'd try and put God first, read the Bible, I go to a youth group Bible study, all that sort of thing, but it was always too hard and I just couldn't keep it up. And you know what I eventually realised? Even the few godly things that I did sort of do, I was only doing them because I thought they would get me to heaven anyway. I was doing them for myself. They weren't even good, they were selfish. The fact was that I was a slave to sin and I couldn't change my master. And sin's a really bad master. It leaves us unable to follow God. We're not free to enjoy Him. But Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. In Jesus, freedom from slavery to sin is found. He came to set the captives free. Now, Jesus didn't come to make people miserable. He didn't come to put them into slavery. Humanity was already in slavery. He came to set us free. See, this tragedy in John 8 with the Jews, how they rejected Jesus, how they rejected their God trying to kill Him, it isn't the very last word for the Jews. See, there's a hint of what's going to happen there in verse 28. Look there, it says, So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. Jesus is saying, after I've been lifted up on the cross, then you'll really know that I'm God. And eventually the Jews, along with the Romans, do kill Jesus and he's crucified. But after Jesus rises, returns to his Father in heaven, there's another festival where Jews again gather in Jerusalem. And one of Jesus' disciples, Peter, he gets up and he preaches the word about Jesus to these Jews. You can turn there if you want. It's just the next book along in Acts, or just listen as I read it out. And from chapter 2, and we'll pick up there in the last line, the summary of this guy Peter's message. And he says, "Let all the house of Israel," that's "let all the Jews, therefore know for certain that this, that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And how did the Jews respond? Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins.'" And then we'll skip down to verse 40. "And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.'" So, those who received, see it there? So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The word about Jesus set them free. They see his death for their sin. They see his Lord, and 3,000 Jews receive him. They're saved. Perhaps some of them were the very ones who picked up stones to kill him in chapter 8. Very possibly. See, here's a real life picture of God's grace. No matter how long you've been rejecting Jesus, no matter the intensity of that rejection, you too can be set free. It happened for some of the very people who killed him when he came. Charles Wesley's famous hymn, it says, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Then thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." You can have that freedom through Jesus. You don't have to do 200 hours of good service to work up your slave debt. You don't have to pile through your chains yourself. Just hear and believe the word about Jesus, and the truth will set you free. And if it's the Son who sets you free, well, he set you free to have God as your Father. Nobody can change who their earthly dad is. Not that I'd ever want to, but I can't divorce from my dad. I can't suck his DNA out of me and put some new DNA in. Nobody can do that. And in the same way, nobody can change who their spiritual father is. But this Son, Jesus, has the power to bring children from the family of the devil welcomed into the family of God. In John 1, it says, "He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus gives us freedom to receive and enjoy God as our Father. If your trust is in Jesus, you're not a slave to sin anymore, but you're family members with God. And that means you can hear him, believe him, receive him, know him, enjoy him. I remember Jesus says people reject him because they're children of the devil, but Jesus gives us a new Father, and it means we're free to love Jesus and receive his word. Look at 8:42 there. Jesus says, "If God were your Father, you would love me." With God as your Father, you're set free to love Jesus. And also 47, "Whoever belongs to God, hears what God says." With God as your Father, you're set free to actually hear and receive God's word through Jesus. So if you're a Christian, if God is your Father, if you've been set free, if that's you, take advantage of your freedom. You've got the freedom to know and enjoy your God, your Father. You've got the freedom to hear and obey his word. This is what we were made for. This is what Jesus died on the cross for us. So take advantage of your freedom. And be careful as well, because when we started out, these people, they appeared to believe in Jesus, but the word didn't abide in their hearts. At least not in John chapter 8. Where by the end they're picking up rocks to stone him. And this is a warning for us. Is your heart becoming hard to God's word? You might still hear the words, you're hearing them now as we looked at John chapter 8. But have you stopped listening? Has the word lost its chain-snapping power to you? If ever you're in doubt, don't go off trying anything else. Come back to the Son, to Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Please join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that he died on the cross, and in doing so, he broke the chains of sin, and he set us free from the family of the devil. Father, we thank you that he was willing to do that for us. Father, we thank you that it's not anything that we would have to try and do, but only what Jesus did. Father, we pray also that if we've heard the word of Jesus, and Father, we do pray that you would give us hearts to receive it. But Father, we pray if we have heard it, that we would take advantage of our freedom, and that we would enjoy you as our Father, not going after the things that once enslaved us. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen.